Dissecting the outcome of the American election.
With Trump, there's a lot of reason to thank God for the blessings that we have in not having Hillary. We do have a chance to have a pro-life Supreme Court that might overturn Roe versus Wade. But what we also have is a man who has said repeatedly that he's never had to ask for forgiveness, and that many pivotal evangelical church figures have kind of hitched their wagon to. And so from the outside looking in, if you see him, it looks as if the church is okay with infidelity, okay with lying, okay with bullying, so long as it's our guy doing it. So what we need to do is pray for our new president, but also make it clear that we're praying for somebody who is not representative of what God is looking for, that there are changes that he needs to make, that this is not our guy. He was appointed himself as a savior of sorts, and we already have one of those, so we need to distance ourselves.
On the feature today, Reform Perspective editor John Dykstra with some thoughts on what happened in the U.S. election last week. In the news, a couple of important issues up for debate in Parliament this month, pornography and palliative care. We talked to the two MPs who are trying to effect change on those issues. And Conservative Party leadership hopeful Maxime Bernier on what he would and wouldn't do on the abortion file.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The first hour of second reading debate started in the Commons yesterday on Motion 47. That's Alberta MP Arnold Viersen's proposal to have the Parliamentary Health Committee study the mental health effects of pornography on young people.
The motion is purely for a study from the Health Committee, and the Health Committee sets their own pace on that as well. So we could end up with a one-day study, or we could end up with a three-month study out of it. It's very vague in those terms, but it does say for the committee to report back by the end of July 2017. That's the only restriction we put on it.
The motion has a lot of cross-party support. Seconders to get it on the floor included Green Party leader Elizabeth May, Bloc Québécois leader Réal Fortin, and federal conservative leadership candidate Lisa Raitt. Viersen says this is an issue that seems to transcend ideology and party lines, and he's getting a lot of support from a lot of different places.
I have over 40 stakeholder groups that have been endorsing my motion. Every day I get another one, and they also all will approach their MP and touch them on the shoulder and say, hey, can you support this? It's just been dogged and getting people to support it and getting them to go visit their MP, and that makes all the difference.
The next hour of debate on this will happen later this month. Incidentally, also on this issue, the Hope for the Soul Ministry is out with a video on precisely this question. We're working on a feature interview with producers Jared and Michelle Brock. We hope to have that on the program later this month. Another big issue coming up in Parliament next week, Sarnia Lambton MP Marilyn Gladue getting ready for the first hour of second reading debate on Bill C-277. That's a private member's bill she's introduced to push the government to develop a national palliative care strategy. This is partly to give healthcare professionals a viable alternative to doctor-assisted suicide for patients who are terminally ill.
Basically, we're looking to define the services that are going to be covered to get consistent access to palliative care for all Canadians, the training requirements for the various levels of service providers, and the right mechanism of how to implement it, because we're missing a number of things. We're missing infrastructure in terms of hospices and palliative care facilities. We're missing resources in terms of palliative care doctors and trained home care workers. So there's a number of things that are missing and could be addressed either through the Canada Health Act, the Canada Health Accord, or possibly through a palliative care government initiative.
And much like Viersen's motion on pornography, this one seems to be getting good cross-party support. Gladue says even the health minister appears interested.
Certainly the NDP will be supporting the bill. Charlie Angus, who previously brought a similar motion to the House, is actually going to speak to the bill. And then I was approached from the Liberals, people that want to speak to it as well in favor. Francis Scarbalagetta, who was actually on the original all-parliamentary committee that brought forward the recommendations that led to the bill. So Francis will speak to it. And Minister Philpott and I had a meeting, and she was going to present it to Cabinet. She was supporting it. She was looking for flexibility of maybe changing the wording a little bit, but I said there was lots of flexibility when we get to committee.
The first hour of debate on C-277 is set for next Wednesday, November 23rd. The Federal Conservative Party leadership race is continuing. There's a dozen candidates in the field now, and they were all on stage in Saskatoon last week for the first formal debate of the campaign. The event focused on policies surrounding the economy, trade, and the environment. Social issues never came up at all. But there is another candidate on record now as saying he'd allow, maybe even encourage, a debate in Parliament on whether Canada needs a new abortion law. I spoke with Quebec's Maxime Bernier last week, and he was very clear that if he ever becomes Prime Minister, he would not have his government introduce this kind of legislation. But he was equally clear that he wouldn't stop any of his MPs from working on the issue either.
As a government, I won't introduce any bill on that because that won't be part of my platform. But if a member is one to table a bill, a private member bill, that will be their choice. I won't interfere. I won't use any procedural tactic to restrain their right. That's their democratic right, and we'll have that debate. But no, for me, as the government, we won't table any deal on abortion, for example.
Bernier also told me he doesn't know how he would personally vote on such a bill. That, he says, would depend entirely on exactly what's in it. We'll have Mr. Bernier on the program later this month for a full-length feature interview. Back with more in 30 seconds.
Online pornography is accessible by children and youth of all ages, and this is not okay. Arnold Viersen's motion, M47, asks Parliament to study the health effects of viewing violent and sexually explicit material and to report its findings to the House next year. You can help. We have a petition at arpacanada.ca/M47-petition, and we need as many signatures as possible before December 9th to ensure the motion passes. Download a copy of the petition and collect signatures today.
And we're back on the program. It's been variously described as a political earthquake and a complete overthrow of the American political establishment. I'm talking, of course, about the result of last week's American presidential election. Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton in what was unarguably the nastiest campaign in American political history. Each side was accusing the other of criminal activity, and Trump, during the campaign, even threatened to throw his opponent in jail if he won. For some perspective on what actually happened last week, I contacted John Dykstra. John is the editor of Reformed Perspective magazine. He's a Canadian, but he lives just south of the border near Linden, Washington. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much.
So, quite a night last night. A lot of people were not expecting the result. Donald Trump ends up with a majority of the Electoral College votes, and he becomes the next president. Initial analysis, what happened?
Well, it shows that polling is a lot more difficult these days than it used to be. They used to be able to call us up on our landlines, and they could make sure that they were getting information that was really random, and now with cell phones and self-selecting internet polls, it's just not as accurate as it used to be.
More fundamentally than that, though, I'm reading a lot of stuff on social media this morning. This was kind of a zeitgeist vote. You know, Trump campaigned against the political establishment and all that sort of paradigm. Was this a message that says we're done with politics as usual?
There was a lot of hope with the people I've been talking with. There's a lot of hope placed on what Trump might do. People were able to place their wishes on this figure because, in some respects, he didn't say that much. So you could read into him what you wanted to hear, and he embraced that. So there were people who were voting for him to blow up the machine. I don't think he's going to, but that was definitely a hope.
You know, it's interesting. I watched his speech Monday night, his final rally in Michigan, and it was all about, you know, drain the swamp and throw her in jail and all that stuff. And then I watched his acceptance speech at 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time after all the ballots had been counted, and there was none of that. He almost sounded presidential, and he almost sounded like a run-of-the-mill politician, if you'll forgive me, as opposed to the guy who was on the campaign trail. There's two different Donald Trumps there.
Yeah, I know. When he spoke that way, I didn't know whether to hope or to be discouraged, especially when it comes to Hillary. You have this choice of prosecuting somebody who deserves to be prosecuted, but do you really want to have the situation where the loser of an election goes to jail? It's not what you do in our Western nations, so I don't think that's a good precedent. It was probably a wise decision to back off that, and I'm hoping he continues that way.
But at the same time, it's got to be a bit disappointing to some of his base who voted for him based on that sort of radical, you know, no-holds-barred approach.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just the end of a long night for a guy who's getting a bit older. But there was some indications in the last couple weeks that he was, maybe say, becoming more presidential. He wasn't on Twitter anymore, and I think his family took it away from him. So he's understanding that his mouth can get him in trouble and took some steps to deal with that.
There was a lot of debate and discussion within sort of the evangelical Christian community in the States about whether or not they could support Trump. I mean, obviously, there were some moral deficiencies there. I saw a lot of stuff that said both candidates are bad. He was less bad. What does this mean for Christians in the States, the pro-life movement, the Supreme Court appointments, all the stuff that goes with that, a whole host of issues that are important to Christian voters on both sides of the border? How do we read this result when we look at it in that context?
We knew what we were going to get with Hillary, and it was all bad. With Trump, there's reason to hope, but it's still very much up in the air. Is he going to stand by his promise to do Supreme Court judges with pro-life convictions, or is he going to do something where he throws somebody out there with a good pro-life record, they get voted down, and then he says, well, hey, you know, I tried to do it, and then he goes and nominates his sister or something like that. So we knew what we were going to get with Hillary, and it's all bad. We have reason to hope with Trump, and at the same time, we have good reason to have doubts about Trump.
From a Canadian perspective, if I can put it that way, and again, I go back to that rally in Michigan, he basically talked about tearing up NAFTA, undoing the auto pact because we want to make all the cars in the States or charge a 35% premium on cars that are built outside of the States if they're sold there. There's a lot of issues economically that are on the horizon here that are a bit worrying, I think, for Canadians. And yet at the same time, again, in his acceptance speech, you know, we'll be good friends to our friends, we'll treat everybody fairly. It was a slightly different refrain. What do we make of that?
For a businessman, he doesn't have a good understanding of basic economics. I am worried that his protectionism is going to be one of the things he puts forward. He'd have a lot of people who would be eager to see that happen, even though it's just picking the producers over the consumers. Everybody in America would start having to pay higher prices for whatever he's keeping out of the country. So that is one area where I'm worried he might actually do exactly what he's saying.
Bottom line, is this a positive result, do you think, from both a Christian and a Canadian perspective, or do we need to be worried?
Well, I didn't know what to hope for on this election night, but with Trump, there's a lot of reason to thank God for the blessings that we have in not having Hillary. We do have a chance to have a pro-life Supreme Court that might overturn Roe versus Wade. We have a much more optimistic lookout at who's going to be in the cabinet, and we have control of the Senate and the House. But what we also have is a man who has said repeatedly that he's never had to ask for forgiveness, and that many pivotal evangelical church figures have kind of hitched their wagon to. And so from the outside looking in, if you see him, it looks as if the church is okay with infidelity, okay with lying, okay with bullying, so long as it's our guy doing it. So from a Christian perspective, what we need to do is pray for our new president, but also make it clear that we're praying for somebody who is not representative of what God is looking for, that there are changes that he needs to make, that this is not our guy. He was appointed himself as a savior of sorts, and we already have one of those, so we need to distance ourselves.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
You bet.
And the final word on this today goes to a guy you've probably never heard of, Ernie Johnson. He's a sportscaster with Ted Turner's TNT Sports Network. He primarily covers the NBA along with a bit of baseball, but he's also an outspoken Christian. And he weighed in on the election results on Thursday with this.
When this campaign season started, I felt like I'd been dealt a bad hand. There were trust issues with Hillary Clinton I couldn't get past. And there was this inflammatory rhetoric from Donald Trump. I couldn't vote for either one. For the first time in going to the polls for 42 years, I hit the write-in button, and I voted for John Kasich, knowing that John Kasich wasn't going to win. But I left with a clear conscience because I hadn't settled. Number two, I'm hopeful. I watched the video today at CNN on what was going on at the White House with Donald Trump, President Obama. I was encouraged that there will be a difference between the President Trump and the campaigning Trump. But here's the deal. I never know from one election to the next who's going to be in the Oval Office. But I always know who's on the throne. I'm a Christian. I follow this guy named Jesus. You might have heard of him. And the greatest commandment he gave me was to love others. And scripture also tells us to pray for our leaders. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for Donald Trump. I'm going to pray for all those people right now who feel like they're on the outside looking in.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.